Hello and welcome to the Michael Mamas Show. I'm your host, Michael Mamas, and we're coming to you from Mount Soma, home of the Sri Someshwara Temple in the mountains of Western North Carolina. The other day, I was watching the news, and I think probably those of you that listen frequently know I like to listen to different stations, different perspectives, different countries. Just try to get different viewpoints on what's going on in the world. It's ridiculous how diverse it is. I mean, what's the real truth, you know? But there was this American woman who is back in the United States now, and she was saying that she had two daughters that went to school in China and that they turned out fine, you know, and she was saying, talked about some of the good qualities that they were taught. Let me see. I wrote down three of them. Let me see if I can even find them here. They were like integrity, self-responsibility, you know. Do you see those anywhere in your notes there, Scotty? What was the other one? Respect for elders. And I think those are all good qualities, you know. But it was amazing how the U.S. media, at least who I saw, and I saw it a couple of different places, they just really unloaded on this woman, you know, that, oh, she got influenced by the communists, or I forget how they put it. But they just thought it was terrible that she said that. And it really pushed my buttons, you know, because, you know, look through history. I mean, as far back as we can remember, you know, we demonize the people in the countries that there are conflicts with politically or geopolitically or what have you. And as I've said, you know, people are good everywhere, you know, the grassroots. People all want the same thing. They just want, you know, have their family, take care of their family, just live a healthy life. But it's the ruling class, you know. It's like the Communist Party. Yeah, I have problems with them. And a lot of what they do, like with TikTok and all this stuff where they're, and ship, even worse, shipping fentanyl into this country. I mean, it's demonic, you know, it's terrible. But it doesn't mean that across the board, everybody in those countries is bad in the whole school system. You can't say anything good about the school system. They teach some good values. And, you know, just year after year, the U.S. is rated like 27th in the world for education, how well the students perform after they graduate, how well educated they are. And even though the U.S. spends more money per student, I think, than most any other country. And of course, China and I think Korea and Japan and countries like that, they all rate very high. And there's something we can learn from that, you know, and imposing this whole woke agenda, not that I want to get off on that tangent, but on our students, is just so far inferior in that sense to what these kids in China are being taught. Does that make sense, Scotty? Oh, it's looking like I only lost Scotty. You there, Scott? He'll work on his audio.
Sorry, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, there you are. At any rate, it brings up the idea of, okay, is there a better form of government, you know? And then I came across this quote that I made me chuckle. This Winston Churchill, he says some pretty cutting things time to time. He said, the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. I mean, there's truth to that. And you'll see these things where they interview people on the street. And, you know, they don't know who the vice president is. They don't know how many branches of government there are. They don't know who fought in the Civil War. I mean, and these people are the voters. These are the people that run the country. We the people. So there is a problem, a big problem with that. But my gosh, I mean, if you're going to have a democracy or a republic, how do you, what can you do about that? You know, anything you try to come up with, it seems to me, is inappropriate. You know, what do you do? Give them a test to see how well educated they are, and only the educated can vote. That's not right, you know? So there's a fundamental problem there. And of course, with respect to communism, socialism, people are just, they're not represented. You get some tyrant at the top and he ends up running the country. And like in communist countries, the people end up suffering. And except for the handful of oligarchs at the top who are living in wealth and abundance. So that doesn't work. But then again, look at this country, and we've got, in a way, we've got the same thing going now. I mean, we certainly have a stronger middle class than, you know, a lot of third world countries. But nevertheless, even though we call it a democracy or a republic, you know, the oligarchs take over, and there's two sets of laws, one for everybody else and then another one for them, you know. So is there an ideal form of government? Of course, Plato, his idea of the philosopher king, his idea was that, you know, you should have a great, wise, intelligent, educated individual, and that's who runs the country. Sometimes they even say about, you know, like King Janaka in the Vedic tradition, you know, he was a great, noble, wise king. And I guess Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon, you know. But the thing is, how do you create a form of government that gets only those kind of people in office? And even if you do end up with one, a great philosopher king, when he passes away, then you've got something set up where you have an oligarch, one guy who runs the whole country, and then the next guy that comes in is a tyrant. And that, so then that form of government is a disaster. So the reality is, and this is right out of the ancient knowledge, right out of the Veda, you know, the concept is that, you know, it's sometimes said knowledge is structured in consciousness. As a person's level of consciousness, their level of awareness, their level of attunement with the deepest values and qualities of existence, natural law, Chaitanya, as the people start to live more and more in harmony with that value, and it's a physiological thing. It's not just an attitude, it's not just a philosophy, it's not just a form of a government. If you have a country where all the people are living in harmony with Chaitanya, in harmony with natural law, then it won't even matter what the form of government is. Because basically we get what we deserve, we get what we create, we get what we manifest. And even if you have a great enlightened candidate, if the group consciousness, the mentality of the people isn't consistent with that, they're going to not like the guy and they're going to stick somebody else in there. So the solution is to do something, and this, and I've talked about this in other ways, but it's to do something to raise the level of consciousness of the people. And in the Vedic tradition, they give that technology. The two main ones are meditation and building an enlightened city. The trouble with meditation is that people don't do it. You know, you teach people how to meditate, they maybe do it for a while. They may think it's great, or they may not like it or whatever. And eventually most people stop. And the problem with the enlightened city is that people can't really accept it because it's so different than what a low level of group consciousness can embrace, can accept. It's just too far out. It's too distant from their world. The fortunate thing about Enlightened City is if you could build it, if you could have it there doing its thing, then it works like as a washing machine for global consciousness. It purifies out the consciousness, which raises the level of consciousness of the people. Because you see, fundamental to all people is that divinity, is that wisdom, is that natural law. But it's all the confusion and cobwebs and pollution of global consciousness that shrouds it, you see. So we don't have to heal the people in that sense. We just need to get rid of the gunk. Like that one, there was a great Chinese doctor friend of mine, passed away now, he was world famous. He said, I don't deal with disease. He says, I deal with health. The health is there. All you do need to do is clear the cobwebs to bring it forth. You see that idea. So another shining example, I think, about group consciousness. You know, look what they did to Jesus Christ. Here we have this great guy, you know. And the group consciousness, though, I mean, some people hear it, yeah. But the group consciousness, sum total, the group consciousness, they can't embrace it. They can't hold it. So what do? They crucify him. And in this world, in this country, I mean, we have a tradition, don't we, of crucifying our spiritual leaders. It's because people can't hold it. They can't believe it. They can't maintain it. They have their, you know, lofty ideals, but they're not really fully embodying the total value of natural law. It's an astral echo. And as I like to say, echoes of truth perceived as truth hold truth at bay, you know? So the solution is there. And the good news is that we don't need to convince everybody. All we need to do is build the unified field generator, the enlightened city, purify global consciousness. Everything will get better. And then whatever form of government happens to be functioning at the time, people say, oh, we finally found the right form of government, you know? And it doesn't matter, you know, if that's what they want to think. You know, but there's that principle of lowest common denominator. And it's really the lowest common denominator that reigns. I mean, even in the case, like with media, with television, with whatever, the programming, the news information, the movies, whatever, the programming that is going to dominate is that which gets the most viewers. And what gets the most viewers is the lowest common denominator. So even though you can have very high religious understandings, very high religious knowledge, very high political understandings, very high economic understandings, very refined, exquisite, profound music, but if the global awareness, if the human physiology, if the human psyche can't really rest with and attune with that level, then it just settles down to the lowest common denominator, and that's what dominates. So the whole global consciousness, that lowest common denominator itself, has to be uplifted. And we try. You know, we try to create good educational systems for the lower income kids or what have you. But it's difficult, you know, because how do you instill moral fiber? How do you instill that as a concept, as a notion? It comes from inside. And so what's deep within there has to be uncovered. But if the global consciousness, is polluted, the whole thing is shrouded, and it becomes almost an impossible task. But there is the technician. The ancient seers gave that to us. And it's all we have to do is build it. You know, it's just so ironic, really. I saw another interesting quote, and this kind of speaks directly to that, you know. It says, adversity causes some men to break and others to break records. You see, it's an interesting thing because there's so many principles like that, and people hear it and say, oh, yeah, I get that and everything. But do we really get it? What's the difference between something like that breaking a person versus getting that person to break records? Now, there's a multivariable, so we don't want to get too dogmatic about it. But a major component to it has to do with the degree to which a person is living from that deeper level, awake to that deeper level. And it doesn't even mean that they're necessarily religious. They can be not religious at all, but still be naturally functioning in harmony with nature. Of course, when we see functioning in harmony with nature, then it gets turned into turning to God, because God is, of course, the one thing underlying all of nature. But then if people aren't religious and they're, well, you know, turning to God, oh, that's just superstition. And so the whole thing gets ignored or rejected, which is what's going on in the arena of religion today. The problem with religion today is it is expressed in a manner that fewer and fewer people are willing to embrace. It's not religion that's the problem. It's the manner in which it's expressed. And why? Because over time it gets expressed in a manner more and more consistent with what? The lowest common denominator, to the point where in a more educated society, in a more discerning society, they look at what is presented as religion, which is basically just the lowest common denominator expression of a very profound concept, and they reject it. That's got to change. And when it does, if people could just really understand the subtle mechanics of the thing, religion would be embraced. Now, there's another phrase here that I've been playing around with. First, it started out in invincibility. And then I changed it to delicate invincibility, because this notion of invincibility, I mean, in a superficial sense, and maybe in some transcendental sense, you know, but not really a pragmatic sense in the way the world is today. In a superficial sense, we're talking about Superman or, you know, some invincible being. But I'd like to talk about a more pragmatic concept of invincibility. And I've talked about this in the past in a little different way, but I talked about like a Stradivarius violin. You know, you can get an old clunker violin for $15 and you can throw it around and bang it around and get dents in it. It doesn't really matter. It still plays about the same as it ever did. No big deal. But the music isn't ever really that exquisite, that fine. The whole thing isn't that finely tuned, profoundly tuned, you see. But as an instrument gets more and more finely tuned, the music that comes out of it is more, we could say, invincible, more perfect, more exquisite, more full, more seamless, you see. There's a tradition in India that when you're around an enlightened master, it's not even good to make loud noises around them, because their physiology is so finely tuned, so refined, so delicate. But yet they're the embodiment of invincibility. They are the ones that can go out and transform a society, transform people, transform humanity, lead people in the direction of an enlightened world, you see? There's an interesting thing. Oh, Scotty, what was that guy's name? I can never think of it. He was the actor, and he slapped the other guy at one of the awards ceremonies.
Will Smith.
At any rate.
Will Smith,
yeah, yeah. At any rate, Denzel Washington made an interesting comment. I think I brought this up in the past, perhaps. But it stuck with me. He said, Will Smith, he needs to realize that when you're on top, you need to be very careful because that's when the devil comes to get you. And that's actually a very profound concept that we've talked about before. Positive attracts negative. Yin creates yang. You know, that kind of a thing. And like that, as you become more and more invincible in that sense, you need to be more and more careful. Because the Stradivarius instrument has to be held and maintained in a more refined manner. Otherwise, it can get more easily compromised. So there's a universal principle there that I think is important to recognize, you know. And in our society, we tend not to do that, you know. If there is a, isn't it true? If there's somebody of dignity or refinement or high spiritual quality or something, I mean, the tabloids have a field day with that sort of thing. People attack, they criticize, they crucify Jesus. You know, it's just the way it works. So the other thing about invincibility is that in different levels, you can cultivate invincibility in your own physiology. And when you touch into it, well, actually, it's cultivated over time. And it involves everything that we talk about, diet, exercise, healthy living, blah, blah. But it gets created. And you start to live life on a whole new level. But it's a gradual transformation, you see? And then the longer you live it, the more established you become in it. There's still that refinement and delicacy there, but there's more support beneath it, upholding it. And I've known people who've had that level of life, you know, and it's unshakable. But then I've also known people that have it and lose it, and then they get it back for a moment, and it just feels so ecstatic. Oh gosh, I feel that value, and I never realized what that was before, but it's a sense of invincibility. But if the foundation hasn't been established over time, it's delicate, and I've seen them fall quickly. So the trick is to cultivate that level of life and realize that the longer you live that level of life, the more solid it becomes, the more profound it becomes, but there's always a delicacy to it. And so it always has to be honored and revered, keeping in mind, like Denzel Washington said, you know, when you're on top in that sense now, different sense than he was referring to, but nevertheless, when you're on top, that's when the devil comes to get you. Positive attracts negative. So these are important principles, I think, and they're good to know. I think there's just one last thing I wanted to bring up. There's so much, and I don't know if you all see this or not in the news and stuff, but so much is coming out now that's about the COVID virus and how much research was done about it, how much knowledge, so many experts in Stanford and different places were saying, hey, this is a problem, and it just got suppressed and ignored. I even was talking with an MD not long ago, and he was saying, yeah, that, you know, a lot of the MDs know that the whole thing was handled improperly, and what they're saying about it isn't true, and the dangers of the vaccine. And but they won't tell their patients. They won't come out and say it. If they do, they lose their licenses. And so physicians will even get together quietly and talk about it and acknowledge that fact with them among themselves, but they won't come out and say it publicly. Like, that's a very dangerous thing, you know, because that can apply across the board, not just to COVID virus, not just to medicine, but to all fields of life, politics, government, the law. This all has to change, and it will. The people are waking up. Because you see, here's the interesting thing. The grassroots, on the one hand, there's that lowest common denominator value. But then on the other hand, it's almost like a contradiction. Because on the other hand, that's where deep moral fiber and deep moral convictions dwell. It's the squeaky wheels that get the oil, but the majority of the people are good, and they want good things. And that's true in China, in the United States, whatever. And so the best government is the form of government that brings that out, upholds that, feeds that, nurtures that. And that's what real of the people, by the people, and for the people means. And that doesn't matter if there's communism, socialism, democracy, whatever. But I think in the world today, when the upper crust, where they say power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. In a world like that today, we really have to be careful and try to create governments that do compel the leaders to listen to the grassroots and serve the grassroots. And I don't know, it seems like democracy and republics probably the best way to go right now. But there was a guy, what's his name, Luc Montagnier. He was he's a researcher. He discovered the HIV virus. And he recently came out and said kind of a spooky thing. He said mass vaccinations spread COVID. And he also said that that's what caused a lot of the variants. But it's interesting because if you research this guy, just go online and search him out. There's all kinds of websites now coming out saying, well, that's not what he said. And the whole thing gets clouded, and there's whole arguments as to what he really said and what he really meant and who made up what. And so the whole thing gets obscured into oblivion, and you just, where do you turn to get the truth? And that too is true across the board. In politics, in government, what's really going on in Ukraine? What's really going on in China? What's really going on in Russia? What's really going on in the United States? What's really going on in Europe? This will sort out. The time is coming when it will sort out. I think the advent with the internet and stuff, though at first people just read it, and oh, you know, they believed everything any troll wrote. Now they're starting to realize, hey, this is ridiculous, you know. So we are going to dig and look and pursue and find what's really going on, and not just what we've been spoon-fed to believe, which has been the tradition of cultures and societies for hundreds of years. There wasn't the media to check and cross-check. And so, you know, if somebody get in power, they brainwash the people. The next thing you know, they are going to war against a bunch of other people. Just because that's what they were brainwashed and spoon-fed to believe. And that's still going on even, you know, in the first world countries all around the world. But it's getting better, and it's changing, and I think it will continue to get better. And I think the internet and the mass communication that's going on now is going to be a big part of what brings about that transition for a better world. All right, I think that's all I have to say for this week. I hope it's food for thought. And we will talk with you again next week. Thanks so much for listening.